Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Strictly Wrestling, episode one, because we did episode zero before. This is episode one. I guess it's the re-debut of Strictly Wrestling. I am Zach Blatter of the Strickland. I'm joined by my final boss, Alex Wolf.
What's up?
I'm also joined by my good friend, Tyrese London. Tyrese, how are you doing?
What's up?
Okay, well, we are here to get to talk about WrestleMania, talk about AW Dynamite, talk about everything else in between. But before we do that, we have to thank our good friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, MLB, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there, including the WWE. I checked that before WrestleMania. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. We also thank our friends at Cut, because as you all know, Believe Nation, we have partnered with Cut, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. That's right. You can join the Believe crew on Cut today and bet directly against myself, Alex, and Tyrese on your favorite sports, pop culture, and politics topics, if you're that insane. Cut is the ultimate put your money where your mouth is platform, and it's legal in New York and every other state. Be sure to follow Cut Bet on all your social media channels and download the app via the App Store or cut.com, and use code BELIEVE for a 10% deposit bonus. And briefly, the Strickland, you probably know about it if you're here. Strickland has a Patreon, has an Instagram, has a YouTube, has a TikTok even. And, you know, TikTok's popping. I'm telling you, better get there before it is super viral, because, you know, we're laying the foundation over there. And you can support the Patreon for extra pods, for extra articles, for all that other good stuff. And we got a lot more to come. I don't want to waste too much of the time. Let's get into WrestleMania. I want to just go like an overview reaction. I thought that's the best way. Let's do like a quick reaction from each of us, and then we'll go event by event. We'll kind of go back in time. We'll go night two, night one, and we'll see where we're at after there. So I just want to say that WrestleMania 40, I'll come out and say it. It was the best WrestleMania of all time. And every single metric that WWE has, it passed. All the numeric stuff, it passed. And I think it had the great wrestling in the ring. It had the great WrestleMania moments. It had surprises. It had celebrities. And it shattered all of my expectations for what I had. And I'm pretty sure it shattered everybody else's expectations too. And I think the most important thing that happened is that it solidified WWE as finally being cool again. And for many years, I thought, you know, you kind of had to like be that awkward person, be like, oh, I'm the one who's going to spend this whole weekend wrestling. Like for the past 5 years, it's been a 2-night show. And I'll be like, oh yeah, this whole weekend I'll be watching wrestling. You sound like a crazy person. But I think for the first time this year, I saw WrestleMania get a lot of national media coverage, a lot of national sports media coverage. And the reaction was overwhelmingly positive. And I remember looking in the comments of these posts when, like last year, I'm pretty sure WWE pays these accounts to give them some promo during WrestleMania weekend. And the reactions are usually like, what is this fake shit? Who's watching these meaty dudes in their underwear beating each other up? Like, what is this for? Who's still watching WWE? And this year I was going through those comments on ESPN and the comments on House of Highlights and all those big accounts. And it's people invested in the storylines and people reacting and people being like, yo, this was fucking awesome. And it was a real moment that I thought this was the first WrestleMania where in the mainstream sports consumption landscape that people were kind of all in on this. People were like, yeah, this is cool. We approve. We stand by this. This was awesome. And this ushered in a new era. I mean, you heard it every single minute. It felt like they were telling us, this is a new era. This is not the WWE you think of. This is not the Vince McMahon WWE. This is the Paul Levesque era, the Triple H era. And, you know, I was listening to another wrestling pod earlier. If you know Santi Zap on YouTube, he has a good pod. And one of his guests was talking about how maybe we should have seen the Cody win coming, because with all this talk about like a new era, I mean, it started on the Friday Night Hall of Fame show when they had done the first new era talk, new era this, new era that. Wouldn't it be fitting to have a new champion to bring you into this new era and a champion to be the face of this new era? And I don't know if you want to go in with Roman Reigns as your champion. And we've heard all the rumors about him taking time off and kind of being done with this whole tribal chief championship run. And it made a lot of sense. I thought the Cody moment at the very end was spectacular. Everything that led up to it. We'll get into the night two main event when we get there. But everything that this weekend led up to was worth it. And the culmination was awesome. The moment for Cody was awesome. And I'm so, so excited to be a wrestling fan at this part in time for this new Paul Levesque era. Tyrese, let's go to you first. What are your thoughts?
Paul Levesque is my booker of the year. And it's not even me. Because nobody else in the other company is doing anything. Just a great WrestleMania all around, man. It was just really exciting. The matches felt very cohesive. This card didn't feel too bloated. Aside from, like, the Uso fight and maybe the street fight with the Final Testament, everything was something that I was, like, interested in watching. Everything felt, honestly, just really engaging as a fan, and obviously the guys that come out of it looking like a million bucks, that'd be like Cody, Roman, even defeat Roman, The Rock could still go, which is surprising because I did not think that. I thought that was going to be a mess, but that actually was really good. And then he hit that double leg takedown into that people's elbow. It still gave me the chills, man. I was feeling the mana. But like, I feel like the MVP might be Drew McIntyre, honestly, man. Drew McIntyre looked great. Like, Drew McIntyre is, for my money right now, probably the best character in wrestling. And his character is just being a hater. So, I love it, man. It was a great Mania. I had a ton of fun watching it.
Alex, what'd you think?
It was really good. I mean, I'm like, you know, like the old ass man in this group. So, like, you know, if we're talking like best Manias ever, at least like for me, the emotional hits are like WrestleMania 17, WrestleMania 21. I think those are my two faves. The Rock Stone Cold, no DQ, Stone Cold goes corporate Stone Cold main event, I think is the best wrestling match of all time, just from a storytelling perspective. But and then like the Cena and Batista both winning their first world championships in one night, that always sticks for me. But like, this is right up there, man. It was, the entertainment value is huge. And this is from a guy that doesn't watch WWE all the time. Like, you know, they did a good job, even on my broke boy fake Peacock plan, without getting to see all the video packages ahead of time. Cause for like every non huge match, they replaced the video package with a whole bunch of like 5 straight minutes of ads, which was not pleasant. But, and I tried to upgrade my Peacock. Shout out to Xfinity. Y'all suck. Like, I tried to hit them up and be like, hey, can I upgrade my plan? I'll give you more money. And they were like, well, we can't do that. Like, you have to do it through here or whatever. And then I'm like, okay, let me hit up Peacock. And they're like, you have to go through Xfinity, whatever. Anyway, so I didn't get to watch any of the great video packages for some of the matches. Even so, like, Michael Cole rocks, man. Like, he killed it. You know, he like managed to explain the stories for you in match, you know, well enough that you could totally, you know, understand everything. Pat McAfee's a little annoying. I don't particularly love him. Evergreen statement, no matter what he's in. But yeah, I didn't totally love his performance, but like the matches were really good. Honestly, like Tyrese was saying, other than like the Uso match really stood out to me, is like this match kind of sucked. Like that one got done and I was like, that was just not entertaining, especially for what was supposed to be like a brother versus brother, like highly emotionally charged match, blah, 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 whatever. That one didn't hit too hard, but like both the women's title matches were fantastic. Like the Becky and Rhea Ripley match, like opened the whole thing, was a really good choice, honestly, because that really set the tone. Like Rhea Ripley is crazy.
He's awesome. Yeah.
And yeah, the main event was chaos. Like I also think, I mean, I thought the Priest cash in was handled perfectly, and like what they're doing with this like Punk, which, you know, got continued on Raw, like the Punk and McIntyre like prank war going on now, where they're just like, I don't know, like YouTube pranking each other with WWE stakes on the line, and like Punk is getting his revenge like 5 times over on McIntyre for just like, you know, fake shooting on him in a promo, you know, a couple months ago. Like, it's kind of crazy. So yeah, I thought it was really good. I very, very good show in my estimation, and like I enjoyed watching every bit of both nights. I didn't get to watch the world's title match live, but I watched that after the fact, especially after I saw about the cash in and, yeah, everything was top notch. It was a very good show. Like, props to Triple H. He's done a really good job, like, getting shit together and making something that makes sense. I guess my only gripe, like, overall show wise, was it was maybe just a, I don't want to call it predictable, but it was like, I don't know. I always take a little bit of exception to a show where just like every babyface wins. And that was kind of the case in this show. Like, a heel win is good. Like, shocking the crowd is good. And instead, this was just like, good vibe, good vibe, good vibe, good vibe. But I feel like that was like meant to kind of wash the stink of Vince off and just leave everybody with smiles on their faces at the end of the day. And so I can respect it.
Yeah, I also think like predictable doesn't always mean it was bad. Like, I think when the right outcome is predictable, it's still the right outcome. And I think there were also like, yeah, a majority of the card was predictable, but I thought like the Sami Zayn Gunther match, like, that really could have gone either way. I actually thought like that was the only match that didn't have like previous reporting of people being like, oh, it's definitely going to be this person, definitely going to be that person. Like, that felt like the real coin toss match of the whole weekend, really. And that match, I mean, we're going to get into it. I guess we'll save it for the end, because I want to go kind of backwards through the card and break down each highlight. I'm not going to go to every match, but every highlight. Let's start with the night two main event, which was just a total train wreck, overbook, like super festival, spectacular of nutso-ness. I don't know. So I guess the first 40 minutes of it were very similar to last year's Cody Roman match, but I thought better. I thought just more engaging, more intense. I thought having Cody use Roman's finisher and then Roman hitting Cody with a spear. They went outside to table spot. Like, they went all around the ring. They really checked every single box for the first 40 minutes, all without no guests or surprise appearances happening. And then, you know, I think it was Jimmy Uso first, and then Jey Uso comes down, and then Solo comes down, and then it starts to really kick into gear with Cena. And then we get The Rock, and we get the thrice in a lifetime face off, which was just chills. And I will be watching that for years to come. And then we get Cena with the attitude adjustment to Roman, or maybe that was before, but, you know, Rock comes out. And then I think we're all three of us and everybody else at home thought it would be Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out. We get the Undertaker's gong, which, like, listen, would I have liked to see Stone Cold there? Yes. Would I have probably preferred to see Stone Cold there? Yeah, probably. It would have been, I think he's in better shape than Undertaker. I think the crowd probably would have popped a little bit more for him, but Taker was a total surprise, and it caught me off guard. And like, I thought that was one of the, besides the Sammy win, that was the probably the biggest spot on the card that genuinely surprised me and genuinely gave me like that emotion of like pure shock. Like, I had jumped off my couch and like ran around my living room being like, oh my God, is he really here? And then choke slam to The Rock. He disappears with The Rock. Like, I know like there was video from the stands of The Rock running out, but the way they shot it, it was like, he got chokeslam and The Rock just disappeared. Like, you did not see him on camera the rest of the whole night. So that was awesome. And then, you know, we get Cody's back in, and you have the chair spot with Seth and Roman, and he cinematically picks to hit Seth with the chair for the revenge on 10 years ago. And that comes back to bite him. Cody pins Roman. And then we get like a 30 minute celebration, which I thought that was the, maybe the most anti Vince thing of the night, because I don't remember, like, if you saw after Cody won the belt, pretty much the whole locker room came out to support him and like hold him up and do all this like emotional stuff. And they really broke the fourth wall of WWE formality that Vince spent so long fortifying and creating. And to see all these people who are like usually on screen adversaries just embrace Cody and all embrace the moment that had just happened was awesome. He even brought out the writer. I don't remember his name, but who was the writer that he called out before he called out Triple H? Bruce Pritchard. He called out Bruce Pritchard. He called out Triple H. He had his wife, his kids, a bunch of other extended family members. Mama Rose was out there. And it was just a super emotional moment. And they even gave him a mic. It went on really long. It was like a long, long celebration, which was cool. I thought that was a unique moment. Usually it's like he wins the title, he gets his confetti, and then here's your roll credits. Like, that's kind of it. But this felt like it deserved that extended celebration. And then I really think like that night two main event couldn't have been booked better, I guess, aside for like a Stone Cold thing, but I thought they handled the Undertaker replacement really well. What do you guys think?
And real quick, like, to be fair to them with the, whatever, they could break the fourth wall. Like, I think they understand now, the people understand how wrestling works and whatever, but like, they did even keep the people that came out to congratulate Cody was kind of in storyline as well.
Yes. It was all people who had like kind of fought with Roman in the past, right, and like had beef with the Bloodline in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. So it all felt very much like, and I mean, this is what they were trying to sell with the whole Seth angle too, leading up to it, with him being like, I'll protect you. We need to do this for the future of the company and the future of wrestling and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, like they basically brought out the people that would have been invested in that, you know, because it was like Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, like Kevin Owens, and was it?
Randy Orton, LA Knight, we're all
Randy Orton. Yeah, it was like it was all people that beefed.
CM with. Punk was out there. That was a different one because Punk doesn't really have beef with the Bloodline yet. I mean,
no, so but he sort of had semi beef with Cody, and then they had the whole Rumble thing and whatever. So I think that was more just meant for that. Also, they were probably just like CM Punk get back out there on camera, you know, like go get your face on TV. But yeah, it made sense. It was cool. I enjoyed that whole thing too.
Yeah, it was
that main event.
It was unique, like the way they handled the ending, because again, like he just kind of talked for like a really long time. It was like addressing the crowd, and that would be something you saw like online after the fact, but the fact that it was in real time was really cool to see. Honestly, that main event was great, man. It was just really good wrestling, and I think it made Roman look so strong, because I feel like the build to the match was a lot of it like Roman up, like Roman in the background for The Rock. But like in the match, like from night one and night two, like he was just cooking. Like he was wrestling, man. Like that was 2021 work rate, 2021 shit talk in the ring where like he used the Crossroads and he's like, that won't beat anybody. That move sucks.
That was sick.
Like, I'm sorry, bro. That I have not heard somebody diss their opponent's move since like Kurt Angle using Lasso from El Paso and like a feud with Eddie Guerrero, and he was like, this hold sucks. But like that was Roman just looked incredible. Like he looked cut, like straight out of like chiseled on a marble, and he was just like he was wrestling, man. Like I think he kind of knew this was gonna be it. Okay. And I feel like he definitely wrestled like he knew it was going to be it. So that was probably his best match since the triple threat with Bryan and Edge.
Wow.
So
do you think it was the best match of his whole title run?
It might have been. Like, it's up there. Like, I think just him pinning both of those guys and stacking them was just such a good visual. And the match was great, too. But, like, that night two main event felt like his best match. Like maybe you can throw in like the Sami Zayn match in Montreal, but like
that was sick.
He looked incredible. He brought out the fucking perfect plex. I was like, what the hell? Like he was going deep into the bag. So it was good for Roman, and obviously Cody finishing the story. I really didn't have a doubt in my mind, because I'm like, if he doesn't win it here, then you basically killed his character, and I doubt they were gonna do that to their biggest babyface. And plus, like, there's just nowhere else for Roman to go. It's not Cody. So I felt like Cody was going to win. It sucks because I love my tribal chief. And I cried, but ultimately, like, it just feels fresh. It felt like the right guy won. It felt like them waiting a year felt justified, because the build to get to this Mania was just, like, yeah, it sucked in the summer, but, like, the ramp up to Mania was great. Obviously, like, you included The Rock, made it even better. And it felt like there was, like, actual real heat between Roman and Cody, which, like, last year, it was just, okay, I want the title for my dad. Now it's just, like, Cody doesn't like Roman. And, like, there's reasons why they don't like each other. And I think that was the one thing that was missing from the build last year, and they got it in space this year. So, ultimately, it just felt better. Obviously, right, I won. Not complaining about the result, and the wrestling was good. So,
yeah, I want to elaborate on.
Sorry,
go ahead, Alex. Go ahead.
What did you think of the whole thing with The Rock saying, in whatever interview it was, one of the late night talk shows or whatever the fuck one, where he was like, "Oh, I went to Triple H the beginning of this year and pitched this idea to him of how I'd become like the greatest heel and we would do this whole story and blah, blah, blah." And basically implying that they like knew that the whole like we want Cody thing was going to happen and like all that shit. I kind of buy it, to be honest. Like, I feel like I don't know if The Rock could have just like, I know he's a great actor and whatever, but I don't know if he could have just like slid into this character that quickly. Like, this did kind of feel preconceived, and I feel like they did know that people were going to get like very, very outraged over this and did plan it this way. Like, do you guys think they did that, or you think that they're just capping?
This is like the $1 million question that's been asked on like wrestling internet all week, but I will think that it's, I think they genuinely acted in response to the reaction. Like, I don't think this was their plan. I just don't think that they're like, that's a, this was all the plan, then they're taking a massive risk by like anticipating our reactions like this. And I think like the wrestling business is so, it's always like, in the, since the business has came about, it's always hinged upon crowd reactions. Like, it's like, even when you go down to promos, it's like, what is the crowd feeling? What are they not feeling? And the amount of times like stories have to be rewrote or promos have to be rewrote and things have to go differently because of the crowd reaction. It's happens all the time. And like, this is just another example of it. And I think Rock is such a veteran of the business that he knows, like, he knew that this had to be the way, this was the only way to get him in there as a heel. Like, if he was going to be a face, there wasn't really a way for that to go down. You mentioned it before, but I think he is that good of an actor, that good of a performer, where he can slide into this heel role that easily, and he can just flip the switch and go into that. And maybe I'm going too deep into the conspiracy, but if you look at all of his entrances as a character this year, like, they started with the, you know, the classic "If You Smell Rock" entrance, the classic, the song that he had been using for his most recent appearances too. And they slowly, gradually built his entrance back into like the Hollywood Rock heel version of his character. And like, the even the visuals for the entrance changed and the sound changed and they added the lightning into it. So it did feel like they were kind of just doing this on the fly and just kind of reacting to seeing what was working and going on the fly. It didn't feel like it was all coordinated. It really felt like they had just kind of done this based on the reactions. Tyrese, what do you think?
I think it was a work. I just,
from the beginning?
Because they had Cody point at Roman after he won the Rumble. It makes no sense to me to go from that to, oh, we're going to go have The Rock face Roman and then have Cody face Seth. Because then nobody wants to watch it. I feel like Triple H knows, at the very least, his product. And I feel like that's the big thing about WWE, that they become self-aware. So I can't see a world where they're like, okay, we're going to tank our main event for both nights. And nobody wins. And Roman still gets to be champion, even though people are kind of sick of it at this point with no story. So I can't see a world where they're like, we're not going to run back Roman Cody, because they built up to it for a year. Like, that interaction they had on like SmackDown where Cody was tag team champion and they had Roman and him look had to stare down. Like, they built up to that. So everything they've been doing had built up to it for a year. Him having Cody fight Brock. Like, so I can't see that being like something to do on the fly.